Hi, my name is Henry Winkler. I'm coming to Pensacola to the Pensacon. I'm so excited. I've never been to one there. And good morning. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Do you do many conventions?
I do a few a year. I find it to be an extraordinary way to meet everybody. You know, people watch me on television or they read my books. The kids read my books. And then I get to meet those people. Otherwise, I would be just isolated in a bubble.
What do fans usually ask you? What do they want from you?
You know what? A hug. Honestly, I never sit behind the table. I always stand on the other side, and I can look the fans right in the eye. Most of the time, it's just they've watched me a long time, they've enjoyed what I've done, and we hug.
You were, at one time, back in the 70s, probably the most popular person in the country, if not the world. Is there ever going to be, with today's media so disjointed, will there ever be a character that just lights up like that again?
Well, personally, just out of my ego, I hope not. But I'm sure that somebody will emerge. It just is the way of the world. You know, there's always somebody that captures the world's imagination. For me, it's singers, Bruce Springsteen, Sia, Bruno Mars. These people are just great at what they do, and they make me crazy.
Well, let's talk about the big role first. How did you interpret, from what I've read, Fonzie was not supposed to be you. It was supposed to be some big Italian hunk guy, but you kind of nailed it in the audition. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. Gary Marshall had somebody in his mind who was 6 feet tall. And when I walked into the room and I changed my voice and I changed my body position, I just thought 6 feet tall. And it worked out pretty well.
Since then, of course, you've done a lot of producing. You've done a lot of voice work. I was a big fan of Royal Pains, and you made a guy who's really, you know, a slimy guy, really, really likable.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was great. I watched the show with my wife, and then they were casting the father. So the two producers were out here in California, and they took me for breakfast. And I was so nervous because I really wanted to play this character. And I was having pancakes, and I picked up the syrup, and I poured it over my pancakes as I'm talking to them about the show. And I looked down, and I realized, oh, my God, I've just poured the cream from my coffee all over my pancakes.
It's a good first impression.
It must have been because I was there for 7 years, and I had a most wonderful time.
Between acting, kind of acting careers, you were a very active producer. And I guess the biggest success you had was MacGyver, right?
Yes, and now MacGyver is back on Friday nights. It's doing really well, and I'm part of that team. It's run by the man who also runs Hawaii Five-O. You know, we just have a great time in the editing room.
And talk about your experience on Arrested Development. That just looked like an awful lot of fun.
I was brought in for, maybe an episode or two, and I stayed for 3 years.
You do that a lot, don't you?
I'm knocking on wood as we speak. I'm doing a wonderful show that we start shooting in March called Barry for HBO. And Bill Hader is the co-producer, co-writer, director and star. And Bill Hader is just a brilliant young man. I'm so excited about that.
Is this a series or a movie?
It's a series. It is a dramedy on HBO. And right after that, I leave the country because we did a wonderful show last summer called Better Late Than Never with Terry Bradshaw, Bill Shatner, and George Foreman. It was a travel show, an eating show, and a buy-the-seat-of-your-pants show because we had no script. We were in Asia in 6 countries. I met an elephant in Chiang Mai, Thailand, that just made me weep, this fabulous pachyderm. And we're going to go again in May, as soon as I finish Barry. And then when I come to Pensacola, I'm coming with my children's books and the one adult book I've written, which is a fly fishing book, photographs I took while I was on the river fly fishing.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about the books. You're very open about your diagnosis of dyslexia when you were an adult. How did this affect your early life, and what are you doing about it now?
Well, you know what happens, honestly, when a child has trouble in school, when a child has trouble, because their brain is wired differently, which is hereditary. But when a kid has a problem, they see that they're having a problem, and their self-esteem plummets. You know, a kid doesn't wake up in the morning and go, wow, I think I'm going to be an idiot today. I think I'm going to be disruptive today. They can't help themselves. And so what you do is you start thinking you're less than. And so, you know, as a parent, I knew once I learned what I had, that I had dyslexia. As a parent, I looked at all my three kids and my grandchildren completely differently. And if you're quiet and you look at your child and you listen to your child, they will tell you what they need from us.
You came up with Hank Zipster.
I did, with my partner, Lynn Oliver. And we just turned in our 32nd novel. And the newest one, Always Watch Out for Flying Potato Salad.
And you have an animated series with that too, right?
There is a wonderful series, a live-action series. I could not sell Hank Zipser to television in America. So we sold it to the BBC. And it is now a hit on the BBC. We've completed 3 years.
I always try to look at someone's Wikipedia page and say, okay, I don't believe that, so I'm going to ask you right now. Do you have an Order of the British Empire?
I do. I used to do a play at Christmas time in England, and I traveled all over. And while I was there, I would travel all over England and visit schools and talk to the children about the concept that there's greatness inside every single person in this room that I'm talking to. And your job is to figure out what your greatness is. And I would ask the kids, anybody know what they're great at? And one was great at soccer, and one was great at math, and one was great at drawing, and one was great at science, and one was great at being a plasterer. He was an apprentice plasterer, because I talked to kids from kindergarten to 12th grade. That's what I did. And then the Queen said, I'm going to give you this award because of what you have done for the children here in England.
Well, if you keep it up, you might be Sir Hank one day.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so happy. I'm blessed with the life that I lead. And it's just so much fun to come to a city like Pensacola, where I've never been, and just meet everybody. That is an award in and of itself. I have the greatest time.
Well, there's a lot of good fishing in Pensacola. I don't know if
there's
fly fishing.
What kind of fishing?
Well, it's actually deep-sea fishing. So.
Oh, see, I vomit.
No.
I get seasick, and so I go on the river. I love to fly fish for trout in Idaho and Montana, the most beautiful country. But I have gone out on those boats, and I have dropped to the floor of the boat and stayed there for the next 3 hours.
I feel your pain. My dad took me out once off Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn, and yeah, was worst day of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know my limitations, and deep-sea fishing is it. And I would love to catch, you know, like a big marlin or a sailfish or whatever it is, but my body is not built for that.
All right. Well, we're really looking forward to your visit. It's going to be a great time.
I really look forward to meeting everybody, and I hope that until we meet, I hope you have a most wonderful life.